Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Oh, this is very exciting. We are back in headquarters. Paul is here. Belle is here. If you hear a crunching of a bone, that isn't Paul. That is Bella going to town. I don't know what is in that thing. It's funny how my family is all vegetarians, but except when it comes to Bella, like giving her like elk bones and bone marrow juice, and she is just having the time of her life right now.
She's an animal.
She is an animal. Hey, everybody, baked on tonight, Philadelphia. We only have a couple more left.
Nice.
We're doing Philly tonight, and then we have, I don't know, New Orleans next one or New Jersey next one, whatever it is. But tonight, 10 o'clock, Monday night. Philadelphia, one of my favorite ones.
What's the food, can you say?
Holy,
can you give a sneak peek?
Holy cannoli, that's what I'll say.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Termini Brothers cannolis.
Can't wait.
Oh, my God. Denick's sandwiches, Sarcone's bread, Federal Donut. There's people that do fried chicken and donuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Insanely good. Insanely good.
Now, what's the best thing inside a cannoli? Is it a set thing that's inside it, or no?
No. You can do it with this cream, or you can do it with ricotta, which is like a cheese based filling. It's really the key. People are able to match up the inside pretty well. It's the outside. It's that shell. To get that shell just right.
Yeah.
Is so difficult to have it be flavorful, crispy in a way that isn't off. Like L.A. has this weird thing where all of them taste like egg rolls.
Yeah,
like not egg rolls, like the chips that you get with Chinese food.
Uh-huh.
That kind of puffed up,
right?
Thing. It's weird. This place, though, holy cow! They have these wooden dowels, and the whole crew is just in there all by hand. It's just amazing. So anyway, watch tonight, 10 o'clock, Food Network. We need good ratings on this one so we're nice and secure and move into our second season.
Nice.
So spread the word. Watch it. Live it. Go to TomPapa.com. I am out on tour right now. I am heading up to Portland, Maine, where I haven't been in a long time. That'll be on Thursday. Then following it up with Rhode Island and West Hampton on Saturday, closing out the week. The week after that, it's going to be Denver. Live From Here is back on the air.
Oh, yeah?
Have you ever been waiting to do new episodes of a radio show all summer? I have. yeah, that's on October 5th, which is going to be very exciting. And then you and I are in Irvine, October 11th through the 13th, Coral Gables. We're going to be in Florida doing a little private gig, and then we're going to go zooming up. Right? You're coming with me to
yeah.
that. And then we're going to zoom all the way up to San Luis Obispo and Thousand Oaks. That's going to be a run. We have to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a day. We're going to be leaving Florida, and we're going to end up in Central California, which means we're going to have to fly in here, grab the car, and then head up. It's going to be a long
And we also
day.
Have, there's a weird thing that's happening now. I don't know if this has happened to you yet, but we're going to be performing at, I'm assuming it's like this a school, like a
yeah.
parents' weekend or
San Luis Obispo.
So one of my friend's kids is a freshman at this
My neighbor.
Place.
My neighbor's kid is there.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, man.
That's such a weird
I know. Thing. I did this one before. And my friend Steve, you know, next door with Bailey the cat, I think his daughter's still there. We have to give him a call. I haven't seen him.
That made me, like, I don't know. I felt like, kind of proud about that because I was like, Well, the dad couldn't be doing comedy at that place, so I guess I'm relatively cool, right?
Yeah, it's all relative. And then Livermore, Spokane, Washington, Dallas. We're swinging through Texas, Austin, San Antonio, Kansas City. This is a big run right now through Cleveland.
Yeah, we got a big thing in Austin already.
We're going to be like rocking it through. Yeah, we're going to be
a lot of food there. A lot of great food in
Austin. It's going to be a great time. So go to TomPapa.com. Spread the word. Come on out. See some live comedy. Very exciting. We're recording this right now on Sunday afternoon, and we're going to release it late night tonight, so you guys all get it for Monday. So we're going to call it the Monday podcast.
The Monday drive.
Because then I'm heading to New York, where I've got the live Come to Papa on Tuesday.
Wow.
It's weird. When you start like listing out all the stuff that has to be done, I haven't been mentally preparing for this at all.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like going about day by day, which I guess is what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to
be anxious
about the future, Paul. You're supposed to live in the moment.
Yeah, you have to. That's what I'm trying to figure out, whether it's good to have stuff scheduled all the time or if you just fly by the seat of your pants.
Well, I think it's good to have the schedule and then create the feeling that you're flying by the seat of your pants. I think you have to, you know, you got work to do, so you got to have stuff out there. You got to have stuff planned out. But then once it's all locked in, you just got to kind of be loose with it, man. Be a combination of a Buddhist Sammy Davis Jr., man. Just being conk, conk, conk. Whatever comes up, baby, we're going to do it. We're going to knock it out. Om, om, om.
Well, I feel like you have your days are planned whether you do it or not. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if you don't have something planned, your family has something planned, or you have something that needs to get done.
Yes. There was maybe one day in the last year where I didn't have anything planned.
Well, even like, I mean, you did have a vacation, but even then, every day is planned pretty
much. Yes,
so,
for sure.
So when I did, you know, basically my vacation was this Asia trip, and then when I came back, I'm like, oh, I have at least this weekend to like gather myself or be jet lagged or whatever.
Yeah.
So last night I did a fly by the seat of your pants thing.
What'd you do?
Well, remember we were talking about how we would have loved to see Tom Petty or whoever before they pass, you know, these legends. So I just happened to check StubHub and I see that the Eagles are playing here.
Mm.
Not the Philadelphia Eagles, but the ones that we root for.
Mm-hmm.
The Don Henley, Joe Walsh Eagles.
Yes.
And they're playing three shows this week because they're trying to figure out if they can still play because Glenn Frey died.
Right.
So his son, who apparently sounds exactly like him, and Vince Gill, the country guy, joined the Eagles. So,
yep. Now they're like the Temptations or the Spinners or the Platters.
Well, it made me feel a bunch of different ways, you know, because like, you know, Vince Gill's probably 61 and really famous in country, but this is like a new level for him. And then the son, your dad just died, and then you're playing the songs that he wrote. That's kind of crazy.
In his band.
Right.
I think the best-selling album of all time is Hotel California.
Yeah, it might be.
I think it just took the spot.
Yeah.
Of all time.
That's crazy.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Well,
in a great album.
Did you ever see that documentary? It's like six parts or whatever.
No.
It's great. It's,
oh, yeah?
Because they hate each other. Like, they fought. Like,
right.
And then they just broke up.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be when, like, 80s, like, 80s rock, like, rock radio started, you know, those stations, like the format.
Uh-huh.
And so their songs just played over and over and over again. So they're broken up for like 12 years. And then by the time they got back together, all these new fans were there because they'd been listening on the radio for like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So they were bigger when they came back even.
Wow. So you're telling me that we can stop going on the road if we could just get someone to play our stuff on the radio all the time.
I think so.
And we'll actually be more popular than if we were out there humping it around the country.
Yeah, we did a lot of live Come to Papas, right? Can we get those in rotation somewhere?
And yeah, come on. Let's crank them out.
But what are you... I feel like you're hesitant, so you're not a huge fan, obviously, but you...
Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Joe Walsh fan. I really like Joe Walsh.
He's hilarious and a good guitarist. But, they're undeniable. But I think it's the same thing. During that time when everyone was falling in love with them and they're becoming more famous, I was getting sick of them.
Right.
We heard so much of it in our lives.
Yeah.
Between the Eagles and the Who, if I didn't hear one song by those either band for the rest of my life, I'd be fine.
Yeah. You did a show with the Who, right?
I did. Yeah, with Roger. I don't know if it was billed as Roger Daltrey or if it was The Who.
Yeah. But didn't throw you at all? It is weird when somebody you see is like, oh, that guy is like, it's always random people that were important to you, like baseball, like you meet Bucky Dent.
Yeah.
You're like, holy cow.
Yeah. No, it was definitely impressive. I came off stage and I told you this story. I'll remind you. We all have to hear stories multiple times for it to sink in anyway. I got off stage. It was like a corporate environment, corporate gig kind of thing. And the Who's going to go on after me. And I come off stage and I come down the little steps and there's Roger Daltrey, who's pretty short.
Yeah.
But a legend. And he says to me, really good job. Really good job. It was very good. And I said, thank you very much. They're a really good crowd. And as I'm finishing that sentence, one of the guys behind him like kind of gets in my face a little, like, he can't hear you. He's got things in his ears. Don't talk to him. He's got to. I'm like, he started talking to me. I'm not coming in here as a Who fanboy.
Right.
You know, happy to see him. Very, very nice. But I'm not like trying. He made me feel like a fan that had to be whisked away.
Right.
He's got things in his ears. He can't hear you. All right. But I don't care. So what? And then he went on. I stayed for two songs and got out of there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know. It's not we've had this talk before. There's something a little sad about these old rock bands.
Sometimes. I mean, that's why I'm kind of fascinated by seeing them easily like mid-60s and like they're doing it and they're probably, you know, they sold out the Forum.
I know.
Three nights this week.
Yeah. With a whole bunch of middle-aged people with wine breath who used to rock.
Right.
You know, it was like when my parents used to go get excited when like some doo-wop star was coming through town.
But they don't have to
like,
do it.
Like, sha-na-na, do-do-do-do-do. And it was like they were all like had the same haircuts.
Yeah.
There's this old wrinkly face under it, and you know, it's the Def Leppard is out on tour now with Rick Springfield and somebody else, and they all hate each other and they go tour around, and it's all like these, you know, middle-aged women like thinking they're in high school jumping up and down.
Right.
It's an old scene, man. It's not
for certain guys.
Look, if the songs are really for certain guys, you go see Neil Young,
yeah,
or Dylan. You know, like it's when you age gracefully and you become the next thing you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Great, you know what I mean,
right?
Like if you're Clint Eastwood acting as Clint Eastwood in his current state, cool, I'm in. Clint Eastwood trying to be.
Yeah.
The outlaw Josie Wales when he was 28?
Right.
No. And that's the same thing with these bands. You know, they come out there and everybody's working for the weekend. And they're kicking in their spandex pants and they're trying. Those guys were of the moment and they were very youthful, sexy, you know, rockers.
Yeah.
Those guys don't evolve into like a singer-songwriter, Bob Dylan, Dusty on the Trail, Willie Nelson, evolving and becoming some other thing. They're just playing those same hits and trying to be like Foreigner of old.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like watching a woman who thinks that she has to try and be attractive the way she was when she was 20. You don't.
Right.
If you're 60, rock it. Have some style. Have some class. It could be just as appealing. It's because you're owning it and you're being truthful. It's when you kind of try and hang on to what you were.
But do you think it's about the songs? Because that was the interesting thing. Is that, you know, Don Henley plays Boys of Summer. And it's like, oh, he can be a guy in his 60s and sing that song because it seems like art. It's not...
Well, this
is
how...
He was only 18 and...
right, you know, exactly.
He's not singing that.
Yeah. No, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with playing a hit and moving on, but you know what I'm talking about. You see them on TV late at night. You're flipping through and there's like some, you know, washed up band who's, you know, Def Leppard's doing it again.
Right. You know, well, you try to dress
up. You have to evolve. If when you don't evolve, you know, and it's hard because these guys, they didn't have big catalogs to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
The Stones can play from four different decades.
Right.
That's a different thing. These, you know, and to that point, your Eagles had a ton of stuff. And they're not like, they weren't a pretty, you know, hair band or anything like that. So I don't, they could probably do it. I think they're probably, Don Henley, I would think, is one of those people who's aging gracefully.
Yeah, I think, and I know, like, I think he had some personal, like, you know, his wife or his kid was sick, like that. He had, like, a real life, you know, he wasn't like a, you know, obnoxious rock star the whole time.
Yeah.
But Joe Walsh is, like, a real, like that Ahmed Erdogan, who's the famous, he was like a manager of everybody. And he's the one that got Joe into the Eagles because he said, you guys can't, you can do an encore, but you can't get to the encore without Joe Walsh's songs.
Uh-huh.
You need Funk 49 and Life's Been Good just to get to Hotel California.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, some you need to get people to the point where they want you to come back out.
Right.
And all their stuff is kind of like the same.
Yeah.
They don't have anything that blows it out of the water.
That sounds like my set on Friday.
you need some smashing watermelon.
I was at this big festival, the Kaboo Festival, down in Del Mar. And it was just a big, unruly place. It was a lot of people in this giant, like, airplane hangar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to build momentum and energy the whole time. And they had this, they do all these stupid things now in these theaters where they have a VIP section up front.
Right.
And they charge everybody an arm and a leg to sit in that section. Well, a lot of people don't pay that. So you have empty seats. It's like at the Yankee game.
Yeah.
The seats that are right around the dugout are $1,500 a seat.
It looks bad on TV, too.
So, so nobody's sitting in them. So, they're empty. So, it looks bad on TV. In a live stand-up show, there's no energy. You literally need a chain of human beings from you on stage to the person in the front row to the second row to the balcony.
Yeah.
That is a real thing. It's a real chain of energy. When that is, when you have a gap there, the show is work.
And
you can't, we can't flow with each other. It was fine. Everybody had a good time. There was a lot of laughs, a lot of applause breaks, blah, blah, blah. But I couldn't get
them
up and rolling so you could get to the encore.
Right. Yeah, that's...
That's why I have in my rider whenever I do these corporate gigs, because they always have... I always say there can't be a dance floor.
Right, right. Yeah.
Because there's a big... That's a big 50-foot, 30-foot space. Uh-huh. That they're putting the seating around. No.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
They even did that in Iraq. They put, like, the tables 50 feet back. It's like, the stage is right here.
No.
Just pull everybody up here.
It has to be up. I literally have it in my contract that it has to be set up that way.
Yeah.
It makes such a big difference. It's a huge difference.
Right.
So, why do we get into that?
Well, we were just talking about,
the energy of Joe Walsh getting to the thing. Right. Yeah, so I don't know. That'll be fun. It'll be fun. I bet you I would be surprised. Like, when I heard Tom Petty that one time at some other festival, and I walked around for like 2 hours, and he played the whole time and didn't play one song that wasn't a hit.
Right.
You know, the Eagles have a deep catalog. Yeah, it would be impressive. Well, and you're in California.
Yeah. Like, well, that's...
They're a very California band.
Well, what would you say that you ended on? Because this is also what I'm fascinated by, is what people play to end the song. And remember, I saw Paul Simon, who has some rockers, you know, but yep. he ended with Sounds of Silence.
So great.
So what do you think the Eagles ended on?
I don't know.
Desperado.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Both went out quiet, and then the place lights come up. That's it.
It's cool. It's a good feeling. I've seen comedians do that at times. Louis Black I saw do it once. Robert Schimmel. Where, and it's such a smart move, because if you're, rather than end on a huge laugh and a huge explosion,
mm-hmm.
they would do that, and then they would have a moment of connecting with the audience, which I do sometimes.
Right.
Where you connect with the audience. I remember Schimmel saying, I hope you had a good time tonight. I hope that this was everything. I hope that this was a good night for you. It was for me. I wait all day long to come out and be here with you and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Good night. Very nice. You know, like a nice, real moment. He's very thoughtful. I saw Louis Black do a very similar thing. And it's good. It's a cool thing. But if you do have, like, it's kind of, you should probably keep that in your back pocket for yeah. when your closer doesn't hit as high,
right.
as hard as you want.
Still a comedy show.
Because I did, yeah.
You want me to do that before I bring you out?
No.
We might not have another night like this.
Yeah, no, you want to have a big laugh. But if it falls short, you can pull out the sentimental card and try and save your ass. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I do like the feeling, you know, those. There's definitely been a lot of those, like, that you get them going. Like, I remember that Newark show that you did at the NJ Pack, and
yeah.
you could have done that show for 4 hours. Like, you came out for the encore, and they were asking questions,
right.
and you did, like, more stuff after that, and they would have kept staying. I kind of like that energy of, like,
yeah.
we want it. So that's almost, when I think of a music show, I think of, it's over. What? How come they didn't play this? Or how come they should have played...
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
like,
we didn't get all of it. Yeah.
Like Dirty Laundry, I wanted Henley to sing.
Right, right.
And he didn't even sing like any of his songs.
Yeah.
So I was like, I like feeling that there's more there, you know?
For sure. That's why, yeah, that's, you're better off feeling a little short and wanting more than, wow, that was long.
Right.
You know, so you get that sometimes when you come off stage and people are like, ooh, you were up there a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
That's never good.
That's never good. You know, that's not so hot. I broke out a couple more Halloween decorations.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's a lantern floating around. There's a spooky candelabra. You know, it's funny. We've had all of these things for so long. So since the kids were little, that you open up, I open up one box of Halloween stuff. I figure we're not going all out, but let's start slowly. Having it creep into the house. And we have like these rubber bats that we used to hang up,
uh-huh.
and the rubber's just slowly decaying.
Yeah.
After being out in this sun here in LA for this long and all those years, it's like, we're going to have to update some stuff.
Yeah.
Everything's getting a little tired and spooky, not in a good way.
Yeah, you got to go to your Rob Zombie's basement and pick out some stuff.
Yeah, get Rob to pass out some stuff.
Sure, it's Halloween all year round at his place. You can just pick up a few things.
I'm off to a good start in my football pool.
Well, there's an upsetting thing today. I don't know if this happened to you.
What happened?
I watched an amazing game for about 3 hours.
Which one?
And Green Bay and the Vikings.
Right.
The rivalry, two great quarterbacks, amazing back and forth, ends in a tie.
A tie?
A tie. Which I didn't know that was a thing until, like, wasn't it like 10 or 15 years ago, Donovan McNabb, the Eagles tied once. It was like after three overtimes or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It was the worst.
That's bad. I thought we couldn't end on a tie.
I'm sure Vegas isn't happy. All the gamblers don't like.
Yeah, I wonder if I won that one. I'm doing pretty well. I told you last week I just had
well,
my daughter
point
do
spreads,
it.
Though, right?
Yeah, it's with the spread. So let's see if I got screwed by that tie or not. The Yankees lost again.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing that I watched.
Which one, Green Bay?
Green Bay and the Vikings.
Green Bay and Minnesota, I lost. Because I had Green Bay giving a half of a point.
Isn't that crazy? So.
Yep.
Man, that's so
a
stupid.
A tie. Well, Cleveland got a tie last week. And they, so they didn't get a win.
Yeah.
Right? So Cleveland still doesn't have a win, and then they lost today.
Yeah, I watched the end of that one. That was
That was close. They 18-21.
The guy missed.
Oh,
missed,
yeah?
He missed an extra point. He missed the go-ahead one, the go-ahead field goal, and then he missed another one to tie it.
Jeez, he's fired.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like
that guy's not going to stick around.
And then the same thing with the Packers game. Mason Crosby, who's like one of the best kickers of all time, I think he made like five field goals.
Oof.
Aaron Rodgers gets them all the way back, gets them in field goal range for 52.
Uh-huh.
Kicks it good, but they do one of those BS like timeouts right as he's kicking it.
Right, so it doesn't count.
So it doesn't count. And then the second one, he misses left.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Who wants, how would you, it's got to be a special thing to want to be a kicker, right? Because I don't get it. It seems like it's only failure.
Well, it's also your only way to get into the league.
That's true.
you know what I mean? You're like 5'10", 130. It's like, I'll give it a run.
You shoot your, you can't shoot goals from 50 yards away.
Yeah. I would take it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's just as far as like psychological, you know, it's equal to like a goalie or like a baseball like relief pitcher. You just got to be nuts just to want to do it.
Yeah, but at least those two, it's like everyone like really wants you around. And kicker, it's like no one even talks to him.
Right.
He's just little and smart and no one wants to hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's just like that guy who's, he has to like deal with luck a lot.
Right.
Nobody, he's like a bad luck charm. Yeah, you don't want that guy around. That would be rough. It's like nobody wants you. You've got to kind of hang out. Could you see like these little tiny, they're all white.
Well,
are there any black kickers?
Or like Latin? No, there's no black. There's a lot of Latino ones because they're soccer style kickers,
right.
So they're all from South America. Or there's actually a couple Australian ones now because of Australian
right.
football. Those guys boom it. I think there's one guy that, or the one Russian guy. Remember the Raiders, Sebastian, whatever his name is.
Right.
He's like a big, like you like to be because you don't have to be in shape. You just got to be able to kick. So
right.
So it's like yeah. You should be at least fun to be around, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're a kicker, you should like bring snacks. You should bring weed for everybody. I had a funny thing happen to me last night. So I did the festival on Friday, and then last night we had off. So we went out to dinner with our friends, good friends of ours. And we had dinner, and it was really nice. And had a little wine, nothing too, I was buzzing, but not drunk. And my wife and I are crossing the street to go home.
Mm-hmm.
It was right kind of in our neighborhood. We're crossing the street, and there is, we're not at a corner, you know. So we're wait till there's literally no traffic at all. The flow is done. We can cross now. So we start crossing the street. some guy comes from out of I don't know where and guns it like 100 miles an hour coming right like towards us.
Oh man.
Like so fast that he's, you know, far away and we're going to cross the street. We can't even attempt to cross the street because we don't know what this guy's going to do.
Right.
So dangerous. Puts our lives in. I have Bella's, I have some steak in a box for Bella that I'm bringing back for my buddy Hans and I both combined our right. leftover steak. We're going to give it to Bella. She's going to be so happy. This guy's gunning for us. I'm enraged. I take the box, and as he passed, I just whipped it right into his windshield.
Yeah.
Poof. Huge, loud noise. He kind of put on the brakes, but then kept going.
Right.
I think he thought he might have hit somebody.
Yeah.
Because I just, wow.
Would you yell, hope you're vegan.
And my friends called us as we're on our way home. Did Tom just throw the food at this guy's car? I can't karate chop him.
Yeah.
I couldn't yell at him.
That's why it's good to not have a gun, Tom.
Yeah, you're right.
shot his back window open.
You're exactly right.
What kind of car was it?
But it was just instinct. It was like, I've got to do something against this asshole. It was like a kind of like a Mustang looking car.
Oh, okay.
Like the newer Mustang kind of thing. Yeah.
That's
I wanted him to stop and then I could have beat him up.
No, was your wife like happy you stood up or was she like Tom?
More happy.
Okay, good.
Yeah. More happy that I did.
There's certain times where you gotta like, you know.
Yeah.
Who are you hurting with steak?
I wish you went into a poll.
Right.
this guy was putting our lives. I mean, what if he texts? What if he swerves just a little bit?
Yeah.
He said goodbye to my friends and then get run over by this. This is a residential street.
Right.
And this guy's going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's crazy.
Maniac.
And that's what I've noticed since I came back from Asia is that there's so much non-pay attention people. Like even if you're
total distraction
on a scooter in Bangkok checking your messages, the guy's still looking at the road.
Yeah.
And do, you know, but I was just behind a guy now and he's in his Tesla. I see him on his phone. I was like, your whole car is a phone. You don't have to look at other phone.
Was he on a side street or on the freeway?
Just about to get on the freeway. And I'm like, I know this guy's going to miss the arrow. And I'm going to honk, and he's going to get pissed at me, and then nobody's going to make the light. And it's exactly what happened.
God. A guy on my way back from San Diego from this festival, I'm going like 69 miles an hour on this freeway, cruising. This van, like minivan, comes up on my bumper, like literally 2 inches from my bumper, out of nowhere, in the middle lane, just riding me. He can pass everywhere. He's just on me.
Yeah.
And I accelerate a little to get away from him, and then he slowed down to a snail's pace, dropped way back, and everybody else started passing him. It's like, what is that?
Right.
Was he not aware? On drugs?
You want to dance?
I keep telling my kids everyone's on drugs, and it was started as a joke. It's really true.
I think so.
Everybody's on, especially in the weed legal state.
Right.
Everyone's either high on that, drinking, or on prescription drugs.
Well, that's the thing, is like you drive anywhere after 11 o'clock at night, like on a weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, well, who hasn't been drinking that's driving right now? Except
that's
for the Lyft people.
Yeah, and then my daughter's driving now, and it's like, no, you got to be home early.
Yeah.
You can't be out there by yourself. Everybody's on something.
Yeah, and that's still the motorcycle debate, because I'm like, it's still not me that I don't trust. It's everyone else that I couldn't.
I know.
Could you imagine that? You're, you know, driving some motorcycle, some guy throws something in front of you while
hits
you're driving
hits
by.
You with steak. Yeah, no, everyone's on something. It really makes me want to live in New York again when you just don't have to drive.
And just walk everywhere?
Yeah. Just like walk and take the train, get in a cab.
Yeah.
So the big storm, it didn't kill that many people, I guess.
Is it still going?
Did you see that post that Rogan put on Instagram?
No.
It is so funny.
Is it the weather guy that's pretending to...
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Anderson Cooper.
Oh, is it Anderson Cooper?
That, who's standing like in a puddle.
Oh, no, no. You got to see the one where it's like the guy that's pretending to be in the storm and he's like falling over and then there's two people that are just walking by in the background.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
He's trying to make it seem like... Like he's getting blown over, but I didn't see Rogan.
Where's Rogan's? I want to show it to you. Oh, maybe. Did he take it down? Oh, maybe it wasn't legit and he took it down. He wrote a thing like, you wonder why people complain that the news isn't true. And it was two cameramen like taking a picture of Anderson Cooper. The cameramen are like up to their ankles in water, and Anderson Cooper is like standing in a hole. Like up to his shoulders.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm wondering.
Here's the guy. He's like wavering back and forth.
Yeah.
And then
is that a video?
Yeah, there's people just like walking.
Oh, that's hilarious! He's all hunkered down, like he's really
he's
trying
like
not to get blown away.
Waving back and forth, and everyone's just like
and
walking
some, like,
behind him.
Kid is just walking behind him, like there's no wind at all. That's hilarious. Well, this is how Anderson Cooper made his mark was when he would go out into these severe weather things.
He's like in the Middle East too. Like he would be in war zones and stuff, and.
It was more storms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he did the whole thing. The bomb just exploded, and...
Oh, he must have... It looks like Joe took it off, though.
Huh.
So it must not have... It must have... there must have been a reason for it. He must have... Maybe it was legit. Maybe he really wasn't... Maybe those guys were on something really high, or I don't know. All right, Anderson, we'll cut you some slack. But it looked really funny.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. The image was just so funny. It was like filming him. And it's like, why are you doing the report from in the hole? Just come right up here and do the report here. It's funny. But anyway, a lot of people out without power, a lot of water, but not as devastating, thank God, as what they thought.
My sister was in Charlotte, which is like way inland. And she said it just got kind of boring because... Everything was closed down and shut down, but then,
yeah,
nothing happens. So,
yeah, you get some good rainy, stormy, stay inside days back east. Out here, you just kind of live every day in sunshine until there's an earthquake.
Well, I did a handful of those. Like, I did a thing for the fire where I was like in front of the fire,
right?
And they were dumping the water on it and stuff like that. I would be. But most of the ones I did, I would never want to be in harm's way. So I'd always be like, if the lottery got to like a certain thing,
right,
they would send me to like the convenience store to talk to the people about the lottery.
Do you know anything about this story with Kavanaugh, with the Supreme Court nominee? Someone's accusing him of that he has sexually assaulted her.
Oh, no. I just saw that he was like working... Basically, I don't like when the judges are too political. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
you worked for a campaign or a guy's office, or you know, mm-hmm. just like, yeah. It was funny. I just saw the interview that Norm Macdonald has a Netflix show, and he had Judge Judy on,
uh-huh.
and she was pretty interesting because she was like a family court person,
right?
Like, she was a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And then she became like a judge, and her whole thing was she wanted cameras in the court, in family court, not because of the TV show, but because all the political favors were always to people in the family court, and they're all idiots. So like some politician got somebody and his nephew would get a job as the prosecutor or somebody, a public defender.
Right.
And they'd all be idiots. So she's like, I want cameras here too. Verify how stupid all these people are. And that's why she became so, like, she talks down to everybody, and that's how she kind of got her whole attitude.
That's funny. How about Norm's press tour last week? That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. That was
every comment he made was funnier and got himself in more trouble.
More and more trouble. And that was the thing that I think the Netflix show is produced by Letterman. So it was like,
oh, it is?
Who knows if you can just get the show pulled? I mean, it's only on Netflix.
No, like they're not going to. There's Netflix is standing behind him, and he apologized, and did, you know, he's just crazy Norm. But it was just so funny how every time he tried to apologize, it just made it worse.
Yeah, so, it just almost shut your mouth.
Yeah, it almost seemed like when I read it, it seemed like he was doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
But then when you heard him talking on Stern and stuff, he was really kind of being thoughtful and just making mistakes.
Right, right. Because he's not used to it.
Oh, so funny.
His brother is like a famous Canadian like newsman, like for the BBC.
Right.
So he's got like a brother who was like did real news, and then he did the fake SNL news.
That's hilarious. Well, this is going to be a big week for us because we're going to be able to start buying Halloween candy.
Well, you got to start thinking about your costume early, Tom.
I know. You're exactly right. What was I last year?
That's the thing. You just
I don't even remember.
You put it together.
Oh, no, I remember. No, I had a good one last year.
What was it?
Mine last year was Hugh Hefner.
Right.
Hugh Hefner died.
Uh-huh.
So I was playing Hugh Hefner being forced to be a Playboy bunny.
Right.
So I had the smoking jacket, a bunny tail, and ears. My idea was that Hugh was going to be humiliated,
right,
and forced to be a bunny. But as the night went on and I got more and more drunk, Hugh started embracing being a bunny,
right,
and started acting like a sexy bunny himself and started hitting on everyone at the party. That was pretty good. And then my Aaron Foley was yelling at me.
Yeah.
That was some. What were you?
I was
a stormtrooper.
No, I was Green Lantern.
Oh, you were Green Lantern. That's right.
That was amazing.
You had the muscle costume.
Yeah, and Aaron was like beating up Wonder Woman.
That's right. Yeah, we did well last year. We got time. We'll be okay. That was pretty creative.
But are you going to try to do like a timely, like the costume of the moment, or are you going to go? You're going to go deep. You're going to go into the psyche like you did last year and do a
yeah, well, that was kind of up the moment because he had just died.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
So
yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like that was like a thought. Like you liked explaining the thought behind the costume instead of the costume itself.
Yeah, I like it to look kind of funny, and then when you hear what it is, it's even funnier.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to take a little time. Well, it'll be, let's see, the end of October. So it'll be before the election. I don't usually do political stuff. Yeah, I'm going to have to give it some thought.
Well, I had an idea.
Who just died?
Like today?
No.
Oh.
Aretha Franklin.
Prince.
You mean just like in the last 10 years?
No, I just wanted you to dress up like Prince. I thought that's where you're going.
That would be cool. I loved Prince when I was in high school.
I think here's the thing. For me, somebody asked me a question like, how famous would you want to be? And I said, I only want to be famous enough to play Colonel Sanders in the commercial.
That's good.
And people would know me.
Yeah, and they'd be like, hey, it's Paul's turn.
So that's what I think. Like, you're very close to, let's say you dressed up like Colonel Sanders as a joke, ha ha, and then it ends up like the bread thing where it's like, oh, you actually want me to be Colonel Sanders? What a crazy idea.
Hint, hint. Maybe I should go all in with some bread thing. Just go as a loaf of bread or as a crouton.
A crouton.
Maybe I'll just be a big crouton.
Is there like a good crouton? Have you met bakers that like put thought into croutons, or are they just stale bread?
I have taken my own bread and made them into big croutons and then soaked them in vinegar. And holy cow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm a big crouton guy. I think crouton is much better than the salad, actually.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I will get you some croutons. They come out great.
I think it's a... Yeah, I'm like all that. I feel like croutons in a pretzel family. I could eat croutons any time of the day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I could just wake up and snack on croutons.
My daughters think that I should open a crouton-only store and call it Tommy's Tiny Toasts.
I think I had an idea about that. I was like, what if they made like little cheese and crackers with croutons? And then I was like, oh, they already did that.
They did?
I think.
I never saw
them. What's a combo? Is that a
That's a pretzel.
Yeah.
That's a pretzel rod with cheese stuffed in it.
But those are stale, though. That's what I put
No, a nice fresh combo?
Oh. Is there such a thing?
Back in the day. No, maybe no one's bought enough since then.
There's a store in my hometown right now that still has two for the price of one combos. It's been going on for the last 15 years. They're just unloading combos from the 80s.
Still. Ever since Prince died. All right, we got to get out of here. Let's see how the rest of our day goes with the football. Giants playing tonight. By the time everyone hears it, the Giants will have defeated the Dallas Cowboys.
Hopefully.
When I'm in New York, after doing the live Come to Pop, I'm going to sneak into Yankee Stadium on Wednesday. The only time. I haven't been to a baseball game all year. This is my one moment.
I haven't either, I don't think.
Really? Not one?
No.
Man, we're working too hard.
I went to a baseball game in Mexico last year. That was the only one.
Increíble. All right, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Enjoy the rest of your week. Make sure you watch Bake on Food Network tonight at 10. And
catch up on the old ones, too.
And spread the word. And go to paulswebsite.com, tompapa.com. Look up all of the tour dates. We hope to see you out there. We're coming to a lot of places we haven't been in a long time. Portland, Maine on Thursday. I think there's still some tickets available. All right, that's it. Enjoy your life.